our focus on missions. And I want you to know that Mountain View, if you're not intimately familiar with the heartbeat, the DNA of this church, it is a mission-hearted church and takes very seriously the responsibility to reach into the four corners of the world. And so this month we kind of carve out for an opportunity to heighten the awareness and the presence of that for you. We have a couple of opportunities for you to do that today. We're going to begin this morning with TJ and Stella Eiswald. And while you guys are coming, I'm going to let the 2, 3, and 4-year-olds go off to junior church. If you are in that junior church program, they have an awesome time of instruction for kids. You guys can go out while TJ and Stella come down. I want to introduce you to them, make you aware of what's going on in their lives. If you are tracking with them, all of that I'm going to say is old news, but I want the whole church to be aware that you have an opportunity here to sort of see missions going out in the flesh. This is a couple who are being called of the Lord to serve Him, and we want to hear a little bit about their story, so I brought a microphone, and I'm going to let TJ talk first, and I want you to tell the folks what you do for a living.
Okay, well, I'm a helicopter pilot, and I work for a local company here, and we do a lot of agricultural work, a lot of industrial forestry, fertilizing, sling Christmas trees in the fall, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so he's a helicopter pilot. And do you think maybe missions could use a helicopter pilot? They're kind of a rare duck. All the other helicopter pilots in the church, would you put your hands up? I'd like to see how many we've got there. I think it's interesting that the Lord would call a guy who has a unique set of skills, but that isn't all. What do you know about the inner workings of a helicopter? Have you always flown?
Well, before I was a pilot, I have an A&P license as well. I've worked as a helicopter mechanic for a number of years.
So let me ask you this question. Do you not think that would be a cool thing to have on the field, somebody who not only knows how to fly it, but knows how to fix it when it won't fly? You know, I mean, that's a nice combination of skills to have. And I think it's pretty interesting because those are also highly marketable skills right here. But the Lord has called TJ to serve Him. And this all began with a sleepless night a couple of weeks ago, right? No. Where did this all begin?
Well, I guess you go way back to a Sunday school room when I was 7 years old, and my Sunday school teacher asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I said that I wanted to be a missionary pilot. So I don't know. God has always kept that dream in my mind and has opened the doors along the way and provided the experience needed to do that, and miraculously in some cases. So,
you 7-year-olds that are with us, it's sure not too soon to begin thinking about what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to invest it for kingdom glory? That's pretty cool to hear about that. Now, I had the opportunity to ask this question, so I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it again for your sake. Stella, when you guys were dating, did he say anything about this?
He did. He was upfront about it.
Yeah. What was your reaction, and how has the Lord been working in your heart through that process?
Well, my journey's been a little different. TJ grew up hoping to be in mission someday, and I grew up bound and determined never to do ministry in an official capacity. So it's been, I said, yeah, it's a possibility. I'm okay with the possibility when we were dating, but over the years, God has begun drawing my own heart into it, too, and so here we are.
Stella is a PK. Anybody know what a PK is? The pastor's kid, yeah. So sometimes you kind of grow up in that glass house, and you kind of think to yourself, okay, that's not how I want to live the rest of my life. And so the Lord is faithful, though, as He's just drawn your heart into this dream and this vision. Now, you guys have been accepted by Wycliffe and JARS, which is the technology arm of Wycliffe Bible Translators. You've been told by them you're on board. You've even been given an assignment. Tell us where that is, Stella.
We're really excited. We're headed to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, they're going to be stationed in Papua New Guinea, and there they will be part of helping to supply, that remote access that only a helicopter can accomplish as it moves in and out to far-flung regions to take the gospel out there. And actually, because Wycliffe is the only agency that has a helicopter, they do flying for a variety of mission and outreach organizations and medical relief and all kinds of things that take advantage of you guys being available, right? Would you like to hear more? Well, guess what? You have the opportunity. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to give the whole hour to TJ and Stella, and they're going to show you some slides and some pictures. They're going to tell you a little bit of what God's been doing. They have a table out there with a place to sign up for information, prayer cards. They're marching toward the day when they will be, sent off from Mountain View to finalize the training and to get to Papua New Guinea. So the journey has begun. And we'd love to have you come back tonight at 6 o'clock, learn more about this whole process, what's the next step, and how you can be praying for them and be engaged in helping them to go out. I think it's pretty cool that a young couple with every reason in the world to just build a house here, saying, Lord, how would you use us in the far-flung corners of the world? So thank you, guys. Bless you. Very cool. They have a table out there, so on your way out, if you're not going to be able to make it back tonight, be sure you get their prayer card and sign up so you can keep posted. And then pray for them. They are now in, this kind of gray area of where TJ is still working because they actually continue to eat. And yet there's going to be a phasing out of that as they get engaged in missions and you've seen it happen in the lives of others, and now it's their world as they raise support here and around the area to go and serve the Lord there. Well, it is a missions month, and one of the other missions that we have been involved in is a very local work called Health and Hope Medical Outreach. And it's a free clinic for those folks who simply have no way to access medical care. It was birthed in the hearts and minds of some Christian physicians in our community who just started saying to each other, what can we do to make a difference? And one of the ringleaders of that, who helped to coordinate that, is our own Dr. Kevin Caserta. And he has a unique gift, I think, of the Lord in diplomacy and dependency upon the grace of God to just begin to draw together some folks. And as they've done that now, the clinic is open. It's functioning. It is a tremendous blessing in our community. And our speaker this morning is Dr. Caserta, going to come and tell you that story. I want to encourage you, if you're in a position where you know people or you are interfacing with people who may find themselves in a place where they need some medical care, but they don't have any means of accomplishing that, before you leave, pick up some of the cards from this ministry that Dr. Caserta or his son Joseph will have. Joseph is the ace number one card holder. Don't let his shortness fool you. Hunt him down, and he will help supply you with one if you want to use it for prayer, with a stack if you want to hand it out to folks that you think should have that card. Dr. Caserta, would you come? Thank you so much.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephen. How are you? Good to see you. So, first of all, thank you, Mountain View, and thank you, Pastor Bill. You are one of our cornerstone partners of Health and Hope, just providing ongoing support to our ministry there. So thank you for that. So Pastor Bill said I had an hour today, although I promised to keep it less than 55 minutes specifically. So October is Mission Month, which is a phenomenal thing. But I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't feel very missionary. In fact, I've never really felt very missionary whatsoever. I hear the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. And I think of people like TJ and Stella and people who are called when they were 7 years old. And when I was seven, I was an ethnic agnostic Catholic who liked a lot of things. One of them wasn't the Lord whatsoever. In fact, I had a nun and some teachers, and they're like, Kevin, you're getting all A's on all these subjects, but you're getting a C+ in religion. And I said, religion isn't going to get me into college. So the only thing that I thought was I had in common, and it took me 26 years to truly accept Jesus as my Savior, with the missionary, was that I was a sinner in need of grace. Probably I actually needed more grace than a missionary, but I knew that we all needed at least some grace. So I never thought about service or missionary work whatsoever. In fact, I could watch a UNICEF video and really not have a strong pull to those people on that other end of the video. I so much concentrate on the work that I do and the focus that I have that I don't think about these greater things that so many other people do. I don't like to travel. I had an opportunity to go to Europe when I was 16 years old. I decided to stay home and work at Taco Bell instead. I like being comfortable. I like our nice home. I like my warm bed, hot water. I like artwork. I don't consider myself a missionary whatsoever. And in fact, before Health and Hope, I had no desire whatsoever to ever work in a free clinic, yet let alone be somebody who would be integral in starting one. And so, like many of you in the room who don't feel like they were called when you were 7 years old, or you don't have amazing mechanical and aerodynamic skills who sink rather than fly, the truth is we can all fly when we listen to the Word of God. And we're obedient to the calling of God that He places into each one of our hearts. By myself, I'm incapable of doing nothing for God's kingdom. But through His grace, I, just as well as every single one of you in this room, are capable of far greater things than we realize. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of Bible verses. I'll read them to you so you don't have to look them up. I know we go to Mountain View Baptist, so I'll tell some lessons. I apologize. I don't have anything to write on, but I know it's important. The two things I know about Mountain View is, number one, we need to write stuff down, and two, you could ask Gabe Anzalini this. We have to bow our heads when we pray. And speaking of that, please join me in a prayer as I continue with the message. And bow your heads. God's watching. Heavenly Father, I just thank You, God. I thank You for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. I thank You for this church that loves You, Lord. We thank You for TJ and Stella, God. We pray for their family, that You bless their ministry to You, Lord, just as You bless all of our ministries to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in Me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be My disciples. So, despite all my fallibilities and even, quite honestly, wrong motives, God, and not me, like I said, I couldn't even make a free clinic after doing it once again, was able to do something much better than the whole team could have done, one, by ourselves, and two, obviously, as individuals. So my goal is to kind of share my story and kind of tell the backdrop of health and how Health and Hope developed to encourage you that if this idiot can do something pretty cool, that you very smart people could do something a lot cooler as you participate. See, you know, Trish, I'm an idiot. In God's kingdom. So here's the lessons. Get your pen ready if you write things down. Lesson one, and I'll say it twice. If you are called, say, here I am. If you are called, say, here I am. 1 Samuel, verse 3, 8 through 10. Just to set the stage, I'm sure most of you probably know this. Samuel is with Eli, who basically is his benefactor, the high priest. And he gets called by God three times. He goes to who he thinks is his master, but eventually, through Eli's wisdom, he learns who his true master is. So a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It was about 5 years ago, and we were actually staying at my mother-in-law's home. And based on the room situation, the size of the beds, Jennifer was in one room with Elise, who was very young at the time. And Joseph, he was about 2.5 at that point. And I was in a room with him. And it was about midnight, approximately. And I was somehow in a prayerful moment. And the other confession I have is I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm a Beetle Bailey. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I, you know, wait until night to pray, which is stupid because that's my worst time. And you guys are all probably better in prayers than I am. But for whatever reason, I was in a prayerful moment, and this idea came to me. And I'll tell you the idea, because the funny thing is it wasn't Health and Hope. And it's something that I think God has in my heart and through the work of a lot of other people will accomplish later. But it was the fact that physicians need opportunities to serve. It wasn't about helping people. It was doctors need places to serve, and that we could create short-term missionary opportunities. So leaving Lewis County, and these doctors could also get what's called continuing medical education at the same time. So we could design a curriculum. The physicians could read along the way during their travels. They get CME credit. They do short-term mission rather than being away for several weeks. You're only away for one or two, depending on the length of the mission. You combine two things. And then the idea got bigger. I like ideas. I think that's one way that God has gifted me. And then what we do, Providence now has 34 hospitals between Providence and Swedish, spanning Alaska to California and out to Montana. And then what we do is we create actually a mission hospital. And we use pre-tax dollars to fund these missionaries and then short-term opportunities for people to go out. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. I thought, wow, that's really cool. And at the same time, I was going to be a medical staff president of Providence Centralia. And I thought, well, I need an agenda because presidents are supposed to have agendas. Not that I knew how anything else about a president. And so I thought, well, we need opportunities to serve locally too. So we'll create a free clinic. Once again, my motive was wrong. It wasn't to serve people. It was because we had to create a culture where doctors were doing good things, so we'd accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and we have a great hospital. So your motives may be wrong, your inspiration may be wrong, but God is much greater than I am. So I came with my agenda, not knowing anything about a free clinic or mission work. Once again, no desire to do it, but I knew who to ask. So lesson two, God rarely asks us to act on our own. God rarely asks us to act on our own. A sure sign of success is, quite honestly, that other brothers, other sisters in Christ are able to come alongside you.
It says in Matthew 18, 19 through 20, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three together in my name, there I am with them." So we decided to develop a philanthropy committee. And once again, this wasn't, at this time, I wasn't listening even to God as much as I should. I just knew I needed to create this committee. I know how to run a meeting, and I know who to ask. So I went to Dr. Jennifer Pauley, a wonderful Christian woman at Northwest Pediatrics, and she said yes. I knew that I needed some other people, though. I knew Dr. Mike Strobach had done a mission. I happened to run into him once in the doctor's lounge, and he was with this group, Steck Medical Clinic, which isn't as closely as affiliated with Providence as I wanted. Wrong motivation. But I knew that we could get a lot more doctors involved if I could get Mike. And then there was Dr. David Little, who I knew a little bit about. I didn't even know if he was Christian. Once again, this wasn't, you know, this was just me working, not God at that point. Although God had given me an idea. When it becomes God's project, will be later. And I knew I needed Dr. David Little because he's with Valley View and was the medical director, which is a federally qualified health clinic here. And they take care of poor people. And I didn't want to seem like I was competition. And once again, that opened up a lot more providers who could volunteer in the clinic. So they all came together, and then God opened the doors. Lesson three, when you ask God, you will get more than you expect. When you ask God, you will get more than you expect. In Luke 11, verse 9 through 10, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So we're working on basically two different paths. We're working on this short-term mission opportunity and this potential free clinic, which actually I always thought would be too hard. It would never happen. But we're talking about it anyways. And we get to the point where all these doors are opening regarding the free clinic. And so we kind of concentrate on that. And so at a meeting, I ask the question. Remember, my motives are not the right motives. God's motives are, but not mine. And so I ask, well, should it be faith-based or not, right? Because we need grants, we get money, we want to be politically correct. And so I ask the question. And Mike Strobach, in all of his wisdom, Dr. Strobach, he says, it's got to be faith-based. I have plenty of patients I could see in my clinic and get paid for. Why do it if it's not faith-based? And at that point, the room was galvanized. We all said, you're right, Mike. It absolutely has to be faith-based. And then it became God's project. You know, not my project, not our project, God's project. And then doors really started to open. We learned about the pastor's council, and we got them involved. A Christian community came in. Volunteers would come out of the woodwork. We may have a volunteer. Maybe he'd be there with a month or two. But then they would introduce us to somebody else, and this thing is just exploding more and more and more. And one of my favorite stories, and many of you probably heard this story because I love it so much, I still get chills when I think about it. Early on, we're in a room, and we're going to get our 501c3, which is our charitable status. Basically, it's so we could raise money to begin to do the work that God now has called us to do. We don't know how much money we're in or how much money we need. We are paying this company that helps 501c3s to start. We have to pay for the 501c3. There's state fees and whatnot. It costs a little money to be a charity. And so I get everyone together in this room. There's about five or six of us. And I say, hey, everyone pray about it. And that's actually a learning thing because I'm not a big prayer. And I say, give what you can or what you think you can, and hopefully we'll have enough money, not knowing what we needed. So one person was our treasurer, Dr. Little, and he was collecting the money. And then another person, Casey Hilden, was basically in charge of finding out how much money we needed, and he was negotiating with his company for a better rate, and actually did really well there. And so we come back a month later, and we had $1,425, an odd sum of money, right, for five or six people giving to the penny. To the penny, God had provided us exactly what we needed. Now, he could have given us $20,000, but it would not have been as strong of a statement of God saying, okay, you have what you need, and that's enough. Lesson four, as things started to get bigger and bigger and growing, much more than my busyness could handle, I learned a phenomenal lesson. It took me 40 years to learn this, or 38 years to learn it, but a phenomenal lesson. Trust God, because it's not about you. Trust God, because it's not about you. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So this is a story of letting go. Early on, of course, you can know everybody on the project. You get to know them. You may not have known them before, but people are coming in, and some people have to come out for different family reasons and whatnot. And now we're going out. We're talking to churches. Important things, right? Important things, talking about this project, which, sinfully, I'm saying, it's my project. But it's not about me, right? It's not about me. And they say, there's this guy, and he's going to go talk to the churches. Problem, I've never met this guy. And I like control. I like to know what's going on and have a little influence here, a little influence there. And this is too big. I can't, you know, I work full time. I have a family. I can't control this. And so there's a pause, and I think, well, I got to go introduce myself to him, meet him, kind of talk to him, vet him out. And then I realized, if this is God's mission, I need to trust the people God has placed along to walk beside me. So I didn't meet him for months and months. We happened to run into each other later. I was like, oh, Todd, I've heard so much wonderful things about you. But even more importantly, it wasn't about me. The mission is about God. Lesson five. The rewards of service are greater than we deserve. The rewards of service are greater than we deserve. In Matthew 10:40-42, it says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose the reward. Do I believe in a heavenly reward? Absolutely. Although sometimes I feel like I have so many jars here on earth that what could be my jars in heaven, but I believe God is much more gracious probably than I give him credit for. So, but I don't want to talk about the heavenly reward of service and volunteering, which I encourage every single one of you to do, but I want to talk about the earthly reward. And the first is the opportunity to learn from the wisdom and righteousness with those that we are blessed to serve with. One thing that we do at Health and Hope, you know, at the beginning of each board meeting is we begin with a reflection and a prayer, and we shuffle it off between the different members. And every single time I'm left encouraged by the faith and the strength, which I don't have, from my fellow believers in Christ. When you volunteer with somebody, you learn so much more about their faith and the greatness of God's kingdom. In addition, one of the most powerful messages that I've learned is to increase my own faith and resilience in God. And I'm going to begin talking about a big thing that God has done recently for Health and Hope, but then also let you know that God is also involved in the details of the day-to-day operations of our mission. So if you didn't know, mental health problems are a huge problem in Lewis County. In fact, the state of Washington is in the bottom probably 5% of states in the United States in terms of meeting health mental health needs, with Lewis County having probably a tenth of the number of mental health providers, say, of Thurston County. So we are in the bottom of the barrel, the very bottom of the barrel when it comes to meeting those needs. And if you look at the Chronicle, you see it all the time. You know, you look at the three-year-old child who's recently abused and died at Providence Centralia Hospital. You look at sexual abuse. You look at violence. And much, much of that has a component of mental illness. And so, as a board, we decided to look into our strategy, what we need to do next. And we prayed, and we decided to commit after prayer to helping people with mental illness. Now, once again, I don't know anything. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know anything about mental illness whatsoever other than it's a bad problem. But I do know how to make a phone call, and I have a few connections. And so I made one phone call and called this woman, Sarah Hockett, who didn't call me back right away, which is always discouraging. About a week later, she calls me up, and she actually leaves a message at that point. And I called right away, and she says, "I'm sorry I took a while to call you back. I was at a conference. And while I was there, I was thinking of Health and Hope. What do you think if we put a crisis counselor in every single one of your clinics?" That's the providence of God. I said, "Well, that seems like a good idea. Is that going to cost us anything?" "Oh, no. We could take care of all of that. You know, we're a free clinic. We're not starving, but it's not like we're rushed for money either." And we had two meetings, and starting in September, they now have a crisis counselor in every single one of our clinics. Now, that's not where we're going to stop. We have other ideas. I like ideas. We're looking into how we could bring more Christian counselors into this community. How can we partner with churches to provide additional education? Why can't you have an anxiety Bible study where people are getting individual counseling and then coming together to truly learn more? Because I absolutely, as a physician, I believe in the chemical imbalances and all of that kind of stuff that happens with the brains and medications and how those serve people. But I believe even more that each person with mental illness, to truly have healing, also needs our Savior who heals every single one of us. So that's a big story. But we see small blessings all the time as well, which are just as important to how we build our faith. And I'll tell you about two. So one is a patient came in and had severe edema, which is really bad swelling of the leg. And that could lead to infections, even amputations and whatnot. And the basic treatment for it to begin with is to put pressure or support stockings. Some of you may have worn them before. They're not comfortable, but they work really well. And so didn't have anything to offer this patient. The next week, somebody came by with a whole bag of support stockings and says, "Hey, these aren't used. We don't have a use for them. Can you take this?" "Sure. We can take them all right, and we could utilize those stockings." Another thing, which actually I didn't mention in the first service, is sometimes we think that people who need services, oh, they're not working, they don't deserve that, blah, 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 blah. And sure, some people could come in and take advantage of the clinic, but the reality is, if they're taking advantage of the clinic and they come there and they hear the message of the gospel, well, that's their problem. But the patients teach us just as much. We had one woman who came in and she needed an antibiotic, and they thought it was going to be about $20. And so actually Dr. Polly, out of her own pocket, she's much better than I am, gives her $20. The patient leaves to get this antibiotic and comes back actually the next week, and she comes to us and she says, "Hey, you know what? Turns out it was $7. And in fact, I had $7. I didn't have $20. Here's your $20 back. And the gratitude of these people is unbelievable. So what are we? How do we serve? We're open Tuesday evenings. We've been open a little over a year and a half now. Last year, we served over 800, we had over 800 appointments or 800 visits. This year, my guess is we'll probably end up with a little bit more. We serve people who are non-insured and underinsured. Nowadays, we're seeing healthcare plans which have a $6,000 deductible, meaning you have to pay $6,000 out of your pocket before your insurance comes in. And if you can imagine, if you're making $10, $12 an hour and you had to pay $200 to see a doctor, you're not going to do it unless you're really sick. And we see people in Lewis County where it's almost like a third world county, despite us spending more on healthcare than any other nation, where these people come in and they have conditions you'd only expect to see, you know, someplace where they don't have regular healthcare. We average about 12 to 20 patients a night, probably 15 to 17 in general. Conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, often not treated very well whatsoever. But many other problems. We've had some people who've come in with malignancies, waiting too long because they didn't have health care. People who've needed surgeries, and we're able to kind of funnel people in to other areas. Infections as well, and a lot of depression. A lot of depression, which is overriding their medical illness. And patients describe a difference because, as you can imagine, if you don't have insurance and you go see a doctor, they're not excited about not being paid. And they've been treated like that in the past. Instead, we're looking for people to serve because that's what God has called us to do. So what are our needs? Obviously, prayer as we expand into mental health, that God provides us the model that will best serve Lewis and South Thurston counties. Prayer for ongoing wisdom. And then, as I said, I think the benefits to our volunteers is even more than the benefits to our patients. So prayer for those involved. Prayer for physical healing, obviously, for our patients, but even more so the spiritual healing, that those who do not have a relationship with Jesus will come to know Jesus as their true Savior. Meals, people coming from the clinic normally have worked the day, and so the clinic starts around 5:30, patients starting to be seen around 6. So if we don't have a healthy, nutritious meal for them, then what happens is they eat their junk food. And we're health and hope. We can't feed them junk food. We have a need for some child care now. In fact, some of our volunteers have younger children, and they need help so that way they can volunteer. Individuals with fundraising skills, event planning, hospitality are huge, huge needs. As any nonprofit, we have to talk about what we're doing to get the support of the community. Grant writing, obviously medical people, financial skills, donations of finances, sometimes medical equipment. That's always tougher. I always defer to our executive director about that. So I'd like to end with Ezekiel 3, 4 to 9. Because some of us are called, TJ and Stella, thank you for your willingness to do so, far, far away to serve. But here's an example. So now the Israelites are now in exile, and Ezekiel, the prophet, is right there. He, meaning God, said to me, Ezekiel. So he then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You're not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to many peoples of..." "Not to many peoples of obscure speech and strange language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I have sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites, but many of the people in Lewis County are hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are rebellious people." Some people are truly called to be a missionary that travels. But God has called every single one of you in this room to some sort of service. Whether it's mechanical skills, I was actually just talking before the service, whether it's mechanical skills or electronic skills or health skills or organizational skills, I don't know what it is, but we're all called to serve God's kingdom. So our lessons, when you're called, and we all are called, say, "Here I am." Lesson two, God rarely asks us to act on our own. So find other people. You don't have to create your own ministry, your own mission to serve. There may be one already out there. Now, Health and Hope is not open for all of you. The other thing I would say is some people may already be maxed out. Don't add more to your plate unless God wants you to. But God wants us to serve in one way or another. Lesson three, ask God for help, and don't be surprised when he does more than you expect. Four, continue to trust God. When it gets complicated, it's not about you. And five, the rewards of service are greater than we deserve. So I leave you with two challenges. First, every single person in this room is an invaluable part of God's kingdom. And when we as believers, we don't trust God enough, God obviously is going to do great things anyways, but he wants to work through us, right? He can make stones yell and scream and whatnot, but he'd rather be up there yelling and screaming, probably not on a street corner. There's ordinances against that. But telling people, sharing the gospel message. Finally, when you do serve, enjoy the rewards of service, the rewards of listening to God, and the rewards of volunteering, because they're much greater than you could imagine. So thank you all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to speak today.